So I want to welcome you again on this first Sunday of the season of Advent. Advent refers to the four-Sunday period of time leading up to Christmas. And it is a time in which we are to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. And it's not just for the coming of Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Christ, but it is a time to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ into our lives and into the world here and now, because we believe that Christ comes to us in this day and in this place. And as the passage from Mark reminds us, it's also a time to prepare our hearts for the second coming of Christ and be prepared for that. It is a time of preparation for us in the church, but in the larger world, the season of Advent is not a time of preparation for the coming of Christ, right? It's a time of preparation for the coming of a really big holiday. And in the larger world, that time of preparation for a really big holiday starts way before the 4 weeks of Advent, right? It seems to me, I must be getting old and cranky, because it seems to me like I walk into the stores now and it could be August and they have Christmas items out. So I think there's nothing wrong with the celebration of a beautiful holiday and having Christmas parties and Christmas presents and Christmas decorations. But if we get too distracted by those things, then we miss the opportunity to focus on what the season of Advent is supposed to be about. And so taking a line from The Grinch, which was the theme for our Christmas parade yesterday, we're going to spend the next few weeks trying to look beyond the ribbons and the tags, beyond the packages, boxes, and bags, beyond all the things that come from a store, to unwrap the real meaning of Christmas and see that it's about a whole lot more. And so today we are going to be looking at how we can unwrap our gifts as a response to the gift that God has given us in Christ Jesus. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
Open heart means you'll take new people, new friends into your life. There's a lot of violence in the world right now. I feel like I can maybe stand up for peace, stand up for fairness. In my social studies class and history class, we've been talking about like Martin Luther King Jr., and he inspired me to stand up for other people, stand up for fairness. Life isn't fair, but if we try and work together, then maybe life will be fair. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you have a fair amount of money. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, what race you are. It doesn't matter.
That video, and not just because I think that little boy looks remarkably like William. Doesn't he, though? I mean, when I saw it, I thought, man, that could be William's twin. But I love that video because of the reminders that it provides about the importance of offering our gifts to the world. You know, the little boy talks about how the world needs our gifts, and we know that that's true. The world is not a perfect place. You just spend time listening as we offer up our joys and our concerns, and we know that there is hurt, and there is heartache, and there is suffering, and there is violence. There are addictions and epidemics with drugs in our society. The world is an imperfect place, and it is a place that is desperately in need of healing. And I love that video because it reminds us that God can use our gifts to bring healing to the world. The greatest gift that God gives to the world is the gift of Jesus Christ. But Jesus then asks us as his followers to share Christ's love with a world that is hurting and in need. In fact, Jesus works in and through the church to bring transformation to a hurting world. And that can sound a little intimidating, can it? Like when you see the list of everything that's wrong with the world and you look at a tiny gathering like our church, what can we do that makes a difference in all of that? But the reality is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can work in and through us, through ordinary people, and bring incredible healing to places of hurt. And I see ordinary people in our church offering their gifts to a hurting world in all different kinds of ways. I see people offering the gift of service and of help as we pack meals for the elementary students in our community, or as we split wood for our firewood ministry, or as the Rortons in our community do things to care for seniors and for children and veterans. I see people in our church sharing the gift of hospitality as they're standing out in the parking lot welcoming people into the church, or as they're preparing breakfast or sharing food together whenever we have our fourth Sunday fellowship, because we're a church that likes to eat, right? And that's part of the way that we share our hospitality with one another. I see people sharing the gift of evangelism as we're at a Christmas parade in Bealeton, and people are eagerly extending signs of love to our neighborhood and inviting people to come join us here in worship if you don't have a church home. There are people in this church who have an incredible gift of faith. And when somebody is hurting or somebody is struggling, they go to the prayer warriors in this congregation, right? And those prayer warriors intercede for one another. And that is the gift of faith. There are a lot of different spiritual gifts, and I see you using them in so many different ways and in so many different places. And one of the things that I think is most beautiful about the gifts that God gives us is that God gives us those spiritual gifts not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. And one of the amazing things that I see about those gifts is that whatever it is that God is calling the church to do or calling the church to be, God provides the gifts that are needed for that to happen. Whatever God is calling for us to do or to be, God provides the necessary gifts for that to happen. And there's just a very small example of that that took place at the Christmas parade. So we were here at the church on Friday night, and we were practicing for the parade. And as I said, you know, the theme was the Grinch, and the kids on the float were all dressed up like Who's from Whoville. And the challenge of getting everybody's hair and makeup just right for that was a pretty daunting challenge, because we have a lot of very active young people, and we needed a lot of hands for getting hair and makeup together. And we thought we had all of the help we needed lined up, right? And then Ashley got a text message from somebody who had said that she would be able to help with that, and she was no longer able to help. Well, you know what happened? We had at least three other people here who were able to say, well, I know how to do hair, and I know how to do makeup, and if you had seen those kids' faces and hair close up yesterday, you would have been amazed at the abilities that were brought to bear on that. Now, I'm not aware that it says anywhere in Scripture that the ability to do hair and makeup are spiritual gifts. But help and service are spiritual gifts. And that's what that was. Anything that God is calling the church to do, God provides the gifts and the ability to get it done. And we saw that yesterday at the parade. But the gifts that God provides are not just for the sake of the church either. They are for the sake of the church to have an impact on the world. They are for the sake of the church to help transform the world. One of the things that I'm really excited about with the upcoming church-wide study that we're going to be doing this Lent, it's called A Disciple's Path. In that study, we will have an opportunity, each and every person, to do an assessment to uncover what your primary spiritual gifts are. And I think it will be a fascinating exercise for each of us. And sometimes you might be surprised, and sometimes you may even find yourself a little disappointed. In the study, there is a story about an attorney who took a spiritual gifts assessment. And when he finished taking the assessment, it turned out that one of his primary spiritual gifts was the gift of administration. Now, he thought, administration, that is really boring. Like, can't I have another, like, a more exciting gift, like the gift of leadership or the gift of teaching or the gift of prophecy? But administration, who wants that? So he took another assessment, hoping he would get a different result. And guess what the result was on the second assessment? Administration. So he took a third spiritual gift assessment, and again, it revealed that administration was one of his primary gifts. And so he was not really excited about that, but then he participated with a group of his church members on a mission trip to South Africa. And it was on that trip that he realized that of all of the people who were participating in that mission trip, he was the one who was able to make all of the connections that needed to be connected and to keep track of the lists of things that needed to be done and make sure that all of the tasks that needed to be fulfilled were taken care of in a proper time and a proper way. And it was because he brought his gift to bear in that group that other members of the group were able to exercise their gifts, and they were able to have an impact in that mission trip. The world needs your gifts. The world needs our gifts, because we know it is a hurting place. And God has gifted us so that we can share the love of Christ with a hurting world. May God help us do just that. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have poured out on each and every person who is a part of your church. We ask, Lord, that you will help us recognize those gifts and help us use those gifts in the service of a hurting world, that others may come to know the love of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.